Late night shows reacted to the events of yesterday. From The Hollywood Reporter, on The Late Show, host Stephen Colbert's monologue lacked its usual polish. As he said, the shameful events had left him shaken. A visibly furious Colbert, who said he had rarely been as upset as he was last night, spent time calling out Republicans like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, as well as Fox News, saying, "Have you had enough? After 5 years of coddling this president's fascist rhetoric, guess whose followers want to burn down the Reichstag?" Colbert, who I believe did the show live, added, "Who could have seen this coming? Everyone, even dummies like me. This is the most shocking, most tragic, least surprising thing I've ever seen. For years now, people have been telling you cowards that if you let this president lie and lie over again, then join him in a lie and say he's right when you know for a fact he's not, there will be a terrible price to pay. I really hope you're enjoying these tax cuts and those judges, because they're going to be busy throwing these idiots in jail." Jimmy Kimmel welcomed visitors to the treason finale of the Donald Trump era. He called the events a terrible day in the history of this country. The president of the United States, because he is too angry, too insecure, and too incompetent to deal with the fact that he lost an election, a fair election, an election that was no different than any other election, an election he lost by 7 million votes and 70 electors, turns an angry mob against members of Congress and his own vice president. Speaking about Trump, Giuliani, and Ted Cruz, Kimmel declared, "These people are not Americans. There is no we the people. There is me the people, and that's it. And the wildest part is these MAGA marchers think Donald Trump cares about them. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your wife or your job or your health care or the air you breathe, the water you drink. He cares about himself and only about himself." On Ted Cruz, he said, "Ted Cruz, this guy doesn't even believe the election was stolen. He knows better than that. He's so hungry for political power. He's so desperate to be liked and supported by these nuts who think Joe Biden is a Chinese agent and Satan is trying to force them to wear masks to the mall so that one day he can be president. He's willing to roll the dice on civil war." Jimmy Fallon did not do a monologue. He said, "Being here tonight and talking to you at home and reassuring you that we're going to be okay and that this is not what our country is about is how I can help." Stephen Colbert said, "Remember this morning the news was saying Democrats now control the Senate? I'm going to say that report was a little premature. The Late Show is ready to project Senate control has passed to majority leader shirtless freak in a Viking hat, Jimmy Kimmel. Thank you for joining us for the treason finale of the Donald Trump era. Stephen Colbert, it's a horrifying day that will go down in U.S. history, however much longer that is. Kimmel, the Capitol was besieged by MAGA hatters in all manner of crazy costumes. It was like a psychotic Price is Right audience forcibly taking control of the Plinko wheel." And Colbert said, "That's a very upsetting Paul Revere remix. The red hats are coming. The red hats are coming." Colbert, he does not give a damn about you. He went home to watch it on TV. You're just entertainment for him. And of course, a steady stream of merchandise sales. Colbert, "Anyway, this isn't how any of this works. We don't decide elections on who's most upset. We decide them by who gets the most votes, portioned by state through a weird electoral college that was instituted to maintain the political power of slave states. It's a long story." Colbert, "Come on, Republicans, don't go up to Capitol Hill for a government handout. Pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps and just work a little harder." And Colbert, "Remind me, are we great again?" I don't believe The Daily Show's live this week, but their Twitter account did tweet from @TheDailyShow, issuing a correction. The Republican Party is the party of law and order, total landscaping. Good joke there. Also from that account, CNN, Trump supporters storm Capitol. MSNBC, pro-Trump mob attempts coup. Fox News, liberals want to ban you from saying, "Hey man, what's up?" Mark Norman tweeted, "You've heard of Black Friday? Yesterday will be known as White Wednesday." And Jim Gaffigan said, "Brought to you by Republican cowardice." Quote, "But I might get challenged in a primary. I won't be able to hang out at my country club. But if I lose, I won't get a job on Fox News." And Gaffigan with the final tweet here, "I never know what to wear the day after an attempted coup." All right. So what I'm going to play for you here next is the aborted episode that was originally scheduled today. If this is the first time you're hearing my voice today on January 7th, earlier this morning, I published deliberately a very generic episode about what we do in the shadows. It's perfectly fine. It's a great sitcom. Check it out. Hope you listen to that episode as well. What you're about to hear here is what I had recorded yesterday morning before all this stuff went down. There are some jokes prior to the event. They are about Mike Pence and Donald Trump. I took a listen back, and I think they're interesting to hear in context, and there's good comedy writing there. And then there's some other news about Chris Rock's special and Rowan Atkinson's Mr. Bean, and I figured let me just share the episode with you. Now, what I think I will do for tomorrow, Friday, is rather than publish at my usual 5:30 a.m. Eastern, I'm going to get up and see what the late night host did and just see where the world is. My goal here is never to be just completely off tone, and that's what I'm trying to do here with this episode. So the episode tomorrow will come out. It'll just come out a little later. But hey, you got one midday on Thursday, so that should keep you occupied. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow the show on Spotify or subscribe on Apple or Overcast or wherever you want. All right, here comes that episode. Oh, one more thing. So let me deal you straight. The way I have a deal with my hosting company is I have to run a commercial at least every 10 minutes. And I'm looking here at the clock. And if I don't run one now, what will happen is the automation system will say, hey, he didn't schedule a commercial. Let's just slam one in. And you're going to get a commercial anyway. So I can either play one right here or it'll just automatically get chopped in mid-sentence if I don't set it. So let me play a commercial here. Then you'll hear what I'll call the lost episode. And in the middle of that, there'll be another commercial break. So just trying to do you straight. I'm not trying to make money off today. But if I don't put the commercial in, it will get forced in anyway. So let me just do it here. All right. Commercial, then the lost episode. I'm Johnny Mack at DC and Pod with your daily comedy news. Today's fun. Seth Meyers kicks it off. Mike Pence can't change the results any more than Vanna White can change the phrase on the board. Jimmy Fallon said Mike Pence's only role was to preside over the ballot count. He's basically one step above a bingo caller, Jimmy Kimmel. Poor Mike Pence. He hasn't been this stressed out since the time he saw a woman in short sleeves, Colbert. If this were an after-school special, this is the part where we would tell Mike Pence that if the president says he won't like you unless you give him what he wants, then he doesn't really care about you. He should like you for who you are, although we understand why he wouldn't, because you are Mike Pence. And Colbert for the win. The vice president can't arbitrarily decide who's the next president. Otherwise, in 2001, I'm going to guess Al Gore would have picked Al Gore. The president had given a speech about the voting down in Georgia, or better put, by Jimmy Kimmel. The devil came down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. That is great. These are on point today, Fallon. Trump spoke for almost 90 minutes, and then he invited everyone on a scavenger hunt to find 12,000 more votes. Fallon again. Trump would read A Tale of Two Cities like this. It was the best of, by the way, I'm the best. Everyone says I'm the best. That Trump phone call over the weekend at the Washington Post played for everybody. Yeah, that one. Jimmy Kimmel said Trump brought up all kinds of crazy things, conspiracy theories he says he's been hearing in what he calls Trump media. It was the kind of call that makes you wonder, is he stupid or drunk? And then you remember he doesn't drink. Colbert, one problem, rally size does not decide an election. That's why on the 20th, we won't be swearing in President BTS. That's a very popular Korean pop band, if you're not hip with the reference there. Jimmy Fallon, Trump asked him to somehow find enough votes to flip Georgia so that he would win the state by one vote. One vote. Trump was like, because if we're going to do this, we can't make it obvious. Fallon, what a waste. Trump could have spent that hour not helping roll out the vaccine. Kimmel, Carl Bernstein, the reporter who broke the Watergate scandal back in the 70s, said what Trump said on the tape was, quote, far worse than Watergate. But I guess Trump figures, I've only got 2 weeks left. What the hell? Seth, that's right. The Washington Post published an audio recording of President Trump asking the Georgia Secretary of State to find enough votes to overturn his loss in the state. Wow, things have gotten a lot easier for the Post since they broke Watergate. Now, Deep Throat is just Trump himself. And Fallon for the win. Apparently, every January, Trump's New York resolution is to find a new way to get impeached. Other late night news, unfortunately, the health situation in Los Angeles is no joking matter whatsoever. I heard some news reports this morning about ICU units at 150% and them rationing oxygen, and it's just nothing funny there. So both Kimmel and James Corden are going to do their shows from home. James Corden tweets, with Los Angeles back on lockdown, we're once again taping the Late Late Show in Corden's garage until it's safe to return to our studio. Kimmel is home for 2 weeks to start the year. Conan is on vacation this week. We'll see what he does. Back to the funny. Eddie Pepitone talks about the pandemic. He says, what I miss most is a very close tie between having in-person meetings with my astrologer and my urologist. I know that doesn't sound like something you would miss, but my astrologer can only be seen in person. She will not do it outside the office. And my urologist, well, he just had a golden touch. Got some more information about Chris Rock's tambourine extended cut. In a new promo, he says, it's a hot special. That sounds so lame. January 12th is when it will be out on Netflix. EW points out tambourine is spelled without the U as a nod to how Prince spells it in the song Tambourine. I didn't even notice there was a U missing. Here, you quickly, you listener, right now, spell tambourine. You're probably wrong. Apparently it has a U in it. January 12th for that one. Maz Jobrani, he's funny. I dig him. His special Pandemic Warrior is coming to Peacock. You know, Peacock, that's the service you're annoyed at because they took The Office away from Netflix and put it behind a paywall. Now you're like, another streaming service? Well, the idea here is you go, I like Maz Jobrani. Maybe I should give Peacock. I don't know how much Peacock costs. A couple bucks. Pandemic Warrior was filmed in Dubai in 2019. It features Jobrani tackling topics such as politics, parenting, and social issues. He's added bonus material from his days under the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown. Keegan-Michael Key has released a trailer for his upcoming podcast, This Story from Vulture. And I've told you in the past how much I like Keegan-Michael Key for being super awesomely cool to me in real life. As Vulture put it, maybe you're an absolute sketch comedy nerd, well-versed in the requisite shows from Mr. to Kroll, well-written there. Maybe your only sketch education up to this point was your dad making you watch the Dead Parrot sketch from Monty Python and getting angry at you when you didn't laugh. Who wrote this? My eldest daughter wrote this, didn't she? If any of the above is true, you may want to know how sketches work, either as a fan, a creator, or someone who went to an improv show for a bachelorette party one time. Thankfully, you're in luck. Audible has released the trailer, The History of Sketch Comedy, hosted by Keegan-Michael Key. Key will visit major moments in sketch history, highlighting performers and sketch shows from the first acting troops that toured Europe in the 1500s to the rise of variety television, training grounds such as Second City. He'll share some influential moments and sketches along the way. Key says in the trailer, as long as there's been human communications, there's been stories. As long as there's been stories, there's been sketch. This will be out on Audible Plus beginning January 28th. Make the same kind of comments I made about Maz being on Peacock. Like, at some point, it's too many things. Like, I would love to check this out, but now I need an Audible subscription. And, like, I get that's why these people are doing these things with these services. But, you know, $5 here, $7 here, $10 there, $15 there. It's starting to add up again. And I don't know, but I really would like to check this one out. I did Keegan-Michael Key. From The Guardian, remember I told you about that sketch last week? The one that get rid of the kids. Kids gone. You know, the sketch that someone thought would be funny that depicted God as a rapist and then the church got upset in Ireland. Who knew? Who could have predicted that would have happened? RTE in Dublin says that they received more than 1,000 complaints from viewers about the show. They have apologized. In a statement, RTE recognizes that matters which can cause offense naturally differ from person to person within comedy and satire in particular. Having reviewed the feedback and complaints received up to this point, RTE wishes to apologize to those who were offended by the segments. Ooh, that's the I'm sorry you were upset apology. That's not the hey, you know, I messed up, I want to apologize. That's the oh, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings apology. Interesting, RTE. This next one got a lot of buzz on the interwebs. I'll start with the AV Club, who wrote, Rowan Atkinson proved that he, too, could shirk silence against his better judgment in an interview with UK outlet Radio Times. Atkinson turned what could have been a fairly productive conversation about toxic pockets of online culture into more commentary on long-fabled cancel culture. Rowan said, the problem we have online is that an algorithm decides what we want to see, which ends up creating a simplistic binary view of society. It becomes a case of either you're with us or against us. And if you're against us, you deserve to be canceled. It's important that we're exposed to a wide spectrum of opinion. But what we have now is the digital equivalent of the medieval mob roaming the streets looking for someone to burn. So it's scary for anyone who's been a victim of that mob. And it fills me with fear about the future. Apparently the interwebs wigged out about that, having just read it. All right, whatever. Calm down. No reason to get upset about it. I'd be more upset about this. He talked about his character, Mr. Bean, saying, I don't much enjoy playing him. Whoa, let's be mad about that. The weight of responsibility is not pleasant. I find it stressful and exhausting, and I look forward to the end of it. There's your headline, man. That said, he's currently working on a Mr. Bean animated movie because it's easier for me to perform the character vocally than visually. He also said, I don't actually like the process of making anything. What's going on, Fad? Really? I know I'm not Mr. Bean, but like, I love doing this podcast every day. It's a lot of fun. One of my favorite television shows is Community, and I saw their Twitter account posted Dean Pelton's extraordinary New Year's resolutions, and I wanted to get to this before we're too far away from the new year. So here are those extraordinary New Year's resolutions. Number one, buy more costumes. Number two, brainstorm deaningful puns. Three, find more opportunities to lightly grace Jeff's shoulders. Four, find the ass crack bandit. We all know it's Annie. Five, be a lean, mean, deaning machine. Ricky Gervais is on The Tonight Show at 11:30 tonight in the States on the East Coast, and that was not one of the Dean's resolutions. I switched topics there. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple, or wherever you get your shows, Overcast, etc. Catch you tomorrow.